Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 44. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 44. Y'all there?
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God says, "And he came out and went as he was wont, as he was accustomed to doing, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast." A stone's throw is what that means. You ever pick up a stone in your life and just kind of heave it? You know what it is? A short distance. "And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." The text verse is going to be verse 41. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, a stone's throw." The title of this here today is, "You are close, but not close enough."
Amen.
Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to gather and for this church house. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for, Lord, your life, eternal life. And Father, those that, Father, are stirred. And Father, may it, Father, just become contagious and just travel, Father, through each and every one. For Father, we have something, Father, to rejoice about. And your word says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh, Heavenly Father, our worst day is going to be here. And for the lost, their best day is going to be here. We're blessed people, Father. Even those that, Father, don't know you yet, they're blessed. When I think about how many people, Father, have so many close calls in their life, and they're not lucky, they're blessed because you save their flesh to give them more time to make it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use this church, Father, as a gospel lighthouse, a spiritual hospital. May the word travel far and wide. May we, Father, as we go out into the world, Father, be unashamed when we name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we always be carrying the banner of the cross. For that is where the power is, and that is what it's all about, the centerpiece of the human race, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, shedding his blood, dying, being buried, rising again the third day by the power of you, Heavenly Father, for you were pleased what he did for us. How incredible. We are blessed. I pray that we see that here today. Dear God, stir hearts. Use these words, thy words. Let none fall to the ground, and may, Father, man's words not, Father, come in here, but just yours. And Father, we'll be careful to thank you for it. In the Lord Jesus' precious name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
When Sir Ernest Shackleton sought out recruits for his 1914 attempt to cross Antarctica, he placed the following advertisement in the London Times. "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success, Sir Ernest Shackleton." Doesn't sound like a very appealing place to go, does it? Can I tell you something, everybody? The Christian walk, the Christian life isn't much different than that. A lot of darkness. The battle's real. The journey is not tough. I'll tell you what, when you get saved, it's almost like you have two personalities. Absolutely. It's almost like the old man hasn't died. He's supposed to be dead, but I'll tell you what, it feels like he gives himself CPR and revives himself a whole lot. And I'm always striving to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and do what he wants to do. But I hear things from the other man. It's a battle. It's really a battle. Let me say this too. I had a man come to me the other night, and he commented upon my joy. Praise the Lord, he saw the joy of the Lord with me. Well, Saturday night I was preaching in a mission house. And he said he really struggled with that. He's not there. And we talked, and I believed he was saved. And let me say this. The first thing you want in your life is to find the will of God, and that's in the Word of God.
Amen.
Second is to do the will of God.
Amen.
Third is to do it, do the will of God joyfully.
Amen.
It takes some time, everybody. And I'm telling you, things are heating up. Remember that in your walk. Remember that, because this man, I believe with all my heart, he was saved, just what he told me. But you see, he's going back dabbling in some wrong, bad things, and God's speaking to him. He shouldn't be doing that. You can't walk in with the joy of the Lord, because the joy only comes from pleasing God, and the joy of the Lord is our strength, as
Amen.
Nehemiah says.
Amen.
Listen, you're close, but not close enough. Number one, when you're not moved by the Son of God's exhortation. Verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Did you hear that? Do you realize temptation is going to be with us? I think one of the last times I was here, I prayed on temptation. Do you realize temptation is going to be with us for the rest of our life till we die? As we grow in the Lord, temptation isn't going to stay down low. It's going to stay right there side of us. But the strength of Christ, you can overcome. He'll give you an exit before you cross that line, which means it turns into sin. But let me say this. I'm only 15 years old in the Lord, but I remember a long time ago somebody told me, they said, if you're bored in life, that's not such a bad thing. Now think about that. Do you know how many people? Listen, this book, I read my Bible a lot. I read it a lot. I believe we should. I try to get it in my heart. But this is our instruction booklet. This is what Satan cannot stand up against, the Word of God. He cannot. Matthew chapter 4, the three temptations. Christ always returned the temptation with Scripture, the appropriate verse for the temptation. And it's something about getting a handle. These are the arrows. These Scripture verses are arrows for our bow. These Scripture verses are the bullets for our gun to shoot at the enemy, so to speak. But you know what? In my reading, my Bible, I read it at least a couple times a year. Last year, I read it three times a year. And you know what's amazing? How if you make up your mind, you can do it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You think about how many times, think about during the day, what you do and where you're looking at and what you're observing.
Right.
Think of and then think about not doing that. And you know, many of those things you don't have to do.
Amen.
I mean, look, all you have to do is go through the world, and everybody has earbuds in and they're looking at a cell phone or an iPad.
Right.
Think about that one. If we just cut that out for a little bit and put that to
Amen.
Put to God's word. But
Amen.
The reason I'm saying this is, and I'm not here to bash you. You know what? We have our own choices, but remember this. It's all about God, and we're going to face
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ one day.
Right.
But in my reading, there's times, Genesis chapter 37 to 50, the story of Joseph, that just boggles my mind every time.
Yep.
It boggles my mind. And then there's other places, many other places. But then there's some other places. And listen, everything in here is important to God. And there is stuff in everything that we can get out of it. But there's some that just is so much more appealing. And then there's others, it's like when I go to read Chronicles, I'm like, please help me, Lord. You know what? This book is written just like our life is. There's ups, there's downs, there's ups, there's downs. If we were on top of the mountain all the time, you'd get bored.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah.
You know, and remember this, Psalm 23, verse 3. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're supposed to be valley walkers, not valley dwellers. And there's a lot of people that are giving up and pitching tents.
Right.
They really are, everybody. Listen, the battle is real. It's a fight. It's the good fight of faith. But you're close, but not close enough when you're not moved by the Son of God's exhortation. That word exhort means to urge or advise strongly. To persuading, persuasive sermon or speech addressed to the minds and hearts of its hearers. I preach in a lot of prisons. I talk to inmates. You know, one of the questions I ask many times, I said, how many of you ever been told you were going to end up in prison before you ever came to prison? You know how many hands go up? Oh, yeah. I had a judge hit the counter one time and point in my face and say, you're going to end up in prison. Strong words of persuasion. Man, I respected her outwardly. Inwardly, I think I sent her into the next county. Sad picture. because I didn't want to hear it. I just pushed it aside. I had somebody waiting outside with a wad of money, and I knew where I was going to go buy the drugs, and I was going to make money and have my drugs. But I'll tell you what, 17 years later, she hugged me and cried because I went back to tell her she was right. Strong words of persuasion. Think about the things in our life. Listen, right now, God in his mercy is calling out to this world. He really is. And you know what? It's of a magnitude that I've only had one person in my travels, and he just turned around and he said, "No, it isn't." And I thought, wow, it's pretty arrogant. Most people, even if they don't want to admit to it, they hem and they haw. Well, yeah, they don't emphatically enforce their words. Everybody knows it. You see, John chapter 2 and verse 5, you don't have to go there, but that's the first miracle that Jesus did at the marriage of Cana. And Mary, Jesus' mother, not the mother of God, Jesus' earthly mother, she told the servants, and you know what's interesting? The servants. You know what? I don't know if there was kings or queens there. I know there were people of authority there at this marriage. When Jesus made the water blush and it turned to wine, it's only the servants knew what happened. And if you're a child of God, if you're born again by the blood of the Lamb, you're a servant. And it's amazing what the servants, while they're laboring for Christ, he'll allow them to see. What a blessing. But she said to them in verse 5 of chapter 2 of John, "Whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Just do it. I don't know if you've ever been hemming and hawing in your life like I have so many times, and somebody just stops and says, "What are you doing? Just do it." Right. It's like, yes, you're right. Just do it. Amen. And you know what? Amen. This word of God. Man, I'm telling you. Listen, if you're saved, 1 John 2:27, the anointing of the Holy Spirit teacheth us Amen. All things. If you want to seek him, 46:10, Psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." This is a noisy world. How often do you get alone and seek God? It'll bless your heart. I'm telling you, because it'll come from him. John chapter 17 in verse 20, Jesus Christ in his high priestly prayer to the Father in verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone." He's talking about the 12 apostles. "But for them also which shall believe in me through their word." He's talking about the apostles that wrote God's word and the prophets from the past, that they will shall believe on me through their word. Now think about this. Christ is praying for the last 2,000 years. That's incredible. Christ is praying for you and I. He's been praying for the last 2,000 years. Before and after we leave, it's not going to really affect us. But for right now, for such a time as this, he's praying for us to believe on him through his word, which is an incredible fact. And I'm going to take a guess, but I believe there's people before you got saved and maybe even now that are praying for you that you have no idea. I believe that. And the reason I'm saying this is I had a woman and I was lost. And I know now it's not about black, white, red, or yellow. It's about the souls of men and women. But I'm just going to say this. It was a black family, which at that time I just thought it was so much more precious and it impacted my heart. In 1990, I had a knowledge. I was a chimney sweep. I was successful, had a drug addiction. Now I was an alcoholic. I was running to people that I should have been running away from. But I was kind of like playing two lives, you know. And you don't fool you don't fool everybody all the time. But the truth of it is, this lady in the hood, row homes, kids in the ghetto in the hood, they like to get up on the roofs and run the roofs. Well, this lady, they took bricks and they threw them down her chimney, blocked it. Bad, could kill her, could kill a family. Fumes don't go up, they go in the house, and she called me up. And I really did have knowledge, and I had a good business, but I was really messing things up. But I was trying real hard to do this one because I earned some money and support my habits. Anyway, I unblocked it. I wrote something out because it wasn't her fault. Wrote something to the insurance company that the integrity of the chimney was altered because of just the bricks coming down and just with everything. Insurance company decided to reline her chimney, and I did stainless steel relining. And I relined it. This lady, Loretta, she signed she had her son help me. Anyway, I did it. Got it done. It turned out real well, and I went on my way. And it was about 16 years later. For 3 days, this lady, Lorraine Engelbach, was just on my heart. You know what? Sometimes when things pop up, so to speak, come into your heart and mind, don't be quick to push them away, because there might be a good reason for them. But for 3 days, all I'm thinking about is this lady that I met 16 years ago, and I thought, man, I should go tell her about my new life in Christ. And one day I'm in Reading, ready to take something off the top of my truck. I was at Reading Rentals. And I look over, and here's Lorraine Engelbach exercising, walking far away from her home. And I'm like, and it was just, you know what? I'm telling you, God. And I went walking over to her. I was ready to tell her about my new life in Christ. And she started crying. And she came forward, and she hugged me. And I said, I'm saved. And I believe just the Spirit of God was just working. You know what she did? She let go of me and she backed up and she said, when we met you and you did that job for us, she said, we knew you were in trouble. We've been praying for you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I believe that. And listen, it should be that way with us. We need to pray for people. But Christ, God of the universe, is praying for us. Prayer to think about that. And he wants us to believe on him through this word. Listen, the exhortation, God is just crying out. Strong words of persuasion. You know how far heaven and hell are apart? 18 inches. Head knowledge and heart knowledge. Make sure, everybody. Matthew 25, I heard this and it really stuck with me when we were talking about you talked about the 10 virgins a month ago. You know what? 5 had oil, 5 didn't. Listen. You know what God's saying in churches? Half are lost going to hell and half are saved. And you know how many people say, also everybody says they're saved. Examine your hearts, everybody. Make sure. Listen, Philippians 2:12 says, we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I don't see many people doing that. I hear people say, I took care of that 25 years ago. If you're not taking care of it right now, you didn't take care of it 25 years ago. Hebrews 10:31, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
Listen to this. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's here, everybody. The world has been judged and they are found guilty. God's not, they're all setting their own course. They have in front of them what is needed, but most don't want it. But we still keep plowing. We still keep sowing and watering. Because God's doing things in this world. But at the house of God is where judgment's going to begin. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Take it serious, everybody. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. One life, one death, one judgment. People look at me when I tell them they're going to survive their own funeral. So are all of us. We're going to move on one day. And I'll tell you what, I thank God he's going to be he's my savior.
Amen.
And not my judge.
Amen.
Some of the people in the last 2 years that I've led to Christ, that preachers, I mean, it's students of the word that are running programs and stuff, God just touching upon their hearts and just showing him where they are. Make sure, everybody, know that you know that you know that you know that you know.
Amen.
Number two, you're close but not close enough when you're not moved by the Son of God's example. Verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. You know, the cross was a plan of God. He used man's wickedness for it to be fulfilled. The truth of it is, Christ allowed Satan to put a hook in him and pull him to the cross. Satan did not realize that God was going to raise him from the dead. That was the defeat of Satan's sin, guilt, and shame. Oh, yes, that was it, everybody. If he wouldn't have rose from the dead, sin would have killed him just like it's going to kill us and destroy most people's lives. But it's the power of the resurrection.
Amen.
Psalm 40, verses 8 and 2, first 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Do you delight to do his will? Number 2, verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. My goings mean his goings. There's a picture of a little boy that wrote out a prayer list and signed it at the end. He was in church. He brought it up to the altar and he laid it down. And he went back to his seat. And God spoke to his heart. You know what he said to that little boy? He said, I want you to go up there. And he said, I want you to get that prayer list that you had made up. And he said, I want you to cross out all your prayer requests. And he said, but leave your signature on the bottom. And he said, go back up and put it on the altar. Come back to your seat. And he said, allow me to fill it out. There's the difference, everybody. You see, I believe Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, if this cup can pass, I believe Satan whispering in his ear, you've done enough, Jesus. Look at what you've done. You've healed blinded eyes. You've raised the dead. You've cleansed lepers. You made the lame to walk. You've done so much. This world's in awe of you. You don't have to keep going. Don't you realize he says that to us so many times?
Sure.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. But Christ said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Have you ever heard that we're made in God's image? What do you hear many times? We're a trichotomy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're spirit, soul, and body.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Should tell you what that really means? An image does what the source does. You ever look in a mirror? The image is in the mirror. And if you raise your hand to scratch your head, that image better do it. We are to be obedient to God.
Amen.
We are to do what God says.
Amen.
Not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. This is a quote from a man named Russell Kelfer. Listen to this. You see, Christ didn't do his own thing. He didn't do his own thing down here. He was obedient to God the Father. This is a difficult subject. Just the mention of the word oftentimes causes children to rebel, employees to complain, wives to become angry, citizens to revolt. The subject of authority. Nobody likes to be under authority. Children think it is unfair. Wives think it is discriminatory. Citizens think it stifles their freedom. All of us think our rights have been denied. Eve did. By the way, in the Garden of Eden, that tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said, don't eat it. That's the first concept of God, authority, and challenged by man. And by the way, Eve, well, when the enemy said that, what right does God have to exercise authority over you? How do you know he has your best interest? Huh? She thought about it not very long. And you know what? She ate that fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She came out from under the umbrella of authority. And her husband followed her, not to be outdone. And do you realize at that moment, Satan injected the serum of self-sufficiency into the bloodstream of the human race? We don't like authority. Authority, it strikes at the very heart of our desire to be independent. Not just the concept causes us trouble, it is the application that causes us trouble to a much higher level. The reason is God wants us to submit to the office, no matter who holds it. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You see, man sees it as submission to a person, and unless they deserve it, we don't think we should do it. So Satan has bound up a package of lies and sold it to the human soul. He says, why obey a boss that has a reputation like that? Why submit to a husband as worthless as him? Why be in subjection to parents who don't seem to care? Why obey a law that you think is wrong? Why support a president that you didn't even vote for? Why? 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 The answer is, God said to do it. Luke 17 talks about being an unprofitable servant. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to. Everything goes back to God. I get some things sometimes. People are excited and happy, and I know some people don't understand, but the truth of it is the air that I breathe and the ability to breathe it is given to me by God. What do I think I'm going to do without him? John 8:29, for I always do those things that please him, Christ said. You're close, but not close enough. Number three, when you're not moved by the Son of God's encouragement. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Encouragement. You can get some encouragement here. I tell you what, some churches are rough, everybody. I'm not trying to bash anybody, but they're not all like this. You know what? This contagious coming here. I'm telling you, Isaiah 64, I think at verse 7 says, is there none that stirreth up himself to take hold of the Lord? Amen. You know what? Listen, sometimes I'm down, sometimes I'm up. But you know what? Sometimes when I'm down, other people God puts in my path that they're up and they lift me up. And there's times they're down and I'm up. And you know what? That's just how it is, because there's a finish line coming.
That's right. Amen.
In Acts chapter 9, verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Do you realize Barnabas is with the apostle Paul, who was Saul? And not too long before this, Saul, in verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, and Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He was the leading terrorist of that day. He hated us. In those days, he would have busted in that back door with men. They'd have whacked us in the heads with clubs or something. They'd have dragged the women out, the children out by their hair. They'd have murdered them. They'd have killed them. They'd have tortured them. They'd have put them in dungeons. You see, he met Christ on the road to Damascus soon after that. And Christ, the light of him, knocked Saul off his mule. He couldn't see for 3 days. And the first thing he said was, who art thou, Lord? Lord was last. I'm Jesus. And it's hard to kick against the pricks, the things that you're doing. For what my plan, what my will is, how it is unfolding. You're making it hard. And the next word that Saul says is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord was first sentence was last. Second sentence, Lord was first. I'm going to tell you right now, he's either Lord of all or he's not at all. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. And he's looking for a holiness, a separation from the world, the flesh and the devil, everybody. Listen, Romans, and here he is preaching. People are like freaking out. This guy kills Christians. What are you doing bringing them here? And Barnabas says, no. I saw him. I heard him with my own ears. Seen him with my own. Encouragement. I can tell you some of the people 15 years ago that were there and helped me along. I needed it. They're long gone. But you know what? It's about growth. It's about maturity. So till we stand on our own 2 feet, just like a new birth, a baby sits there, can't do anything. After a while, he sits up. After a while, he starts crawling. Then he starts walking. That's the Christian walk. I think it's a little bit tougher being, I was 44 years old, you know, used to carrying bad things in a rough world. And now I have to hold my hand out to reach out and take hold of the people that are there saying, come on, follow me. I'll help you along. And you know what? They were put there because of God.
Amen.
Oh my. Romans chapter 5. In verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. I have peace in my soul because I'm forgiven. The battle's real. Sometimes I go through a whole lot, everybody. And if you're, see, that's where spiritual warfare is. That's what it is about. When you want to obey God, if you throw your Bible away, I'll tell you what, Satan will let you alone. He'll let you alone. But if you're God's, God's going to step in and chastise you. But spiritual warfare comes when you want to obey God. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations and knowing that tribulation worketh patience and patience experience and experience hope. You're going to learn patience. God's seldom early, but he's never late. You know how we are? Unless I said me. I like pulling up the Wendy's to the window, to the speaker, nobody in front of me. And by the time I get to the other side, I want the bag hanging out the window. Aren't we like that? Am I the only one? You'll learn patience with Christ. And then here. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You'll learn hope that maketh not ashamed. I love winning souls. I love sowing and watering. But you know what? Sometimes it's not a big parade. Sometimes it's not all sorts of pomp and accolades and stuff going on. Whatever God has us to do. You see, Christ came, the Messiah. They thought he was going to wipe out the Roman army. sit on a throne in Jerusalem and rule and reign and take care of everything. But you know what? They blindfolded him. They hit him. They beat him with rods. They ripped his beard out. They put thorns in it. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They beat him so bad he didn't even look like a man. They stripped him naked, nailed him to a cross, and set him up high. And people stood there and said, "You saved others. Save yourself." Spit at him. You know what? To the world, it looked like he failed. But he didn't. He did exactly what God the Father wanted. You know what? A couple of weeks ago, I was out and I see this man sitting in a wheelchair, doesn't have a leg, in July and August, in 98 degree weather. He doesn't have a hat or nothing. He sits there every day. Every time I go out through Moundsville, West Virginia, month after month, I stop there and I drove by last 3 weeks ago, and God said, "I want you to speak to him." I drove around. I just knew. And I parked. I walked up and I walked to him. He said, "Hello, my name's Eugene. And I usually don't have much fluff to say." I said, "Gene," I said, "you know this world's turned upside down. Where would you go if you died right now?" He said, "I want to go to hell." I said, "No, you don't, Eugene." He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "It's going to be real simple, Eugene." I said, "Don't do nothing." But you know what? We talked for 10, 15 minutes. He took the gospel from me. He listened. I gave him a challenge card. Get alone. Cry out to God with your heart. And if he answers you, promise you'll repent. I held my hand out. I said, "Can we pray?" He grabbed my hand and we prayed. And I left. Here's a man that doesn't want anything to do with God, wants the darkness, but yet I had 15 minutes to tell him about my Savior. You know what? I knew it was God's will. I drove uptown in Wheeling, West Virginia, and I thought, "Man, I need gas. I better turn around." I turned around about 4 or 5 blocks. I'm at a gas station. Everybody's filled up. Putting gas in their car, and there's a guy beside of me, because I'm like thinking, "God, who do you want me to go to?" Well, gave him my track. He took it and he looked at me and said, "I'm an atheist." We talked for 15 minutes at the pump. Everybody had left. Our hoses were still in the cars. And he looked at me and he said, "It's not an accident that you and I met today. That was God's will. It doesn't have to be what the world says. It doesn't have to look or feel what we once knew that made us feel so good." No, walking with Christ, he'll take that straight and narrow road. Isn't straight and narrow. If it was, he could lay down, take a nap, and you could just keep going. It'll take you all sorts of places, even into the deep, dark corners of your own heart. Listen, it's a ministry of encouragement, not a ministry of discouragement. And number 4, you're close but not close enough when you're not moved by the Son of God's endurance. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I had a man tell me, he said, he saw a big, strong man, world-class weightlifter, just straining so hard. Everything was just looking like it's going to break, muscles, veins, arteries. And he said, all of a sudden, blood vessels broke in his forehead, and blood just come running down. I could see that with 500, 600, 700 pounds on my back, or your back. But I have trouble straining, seeing myself or imagining somebody straining so hard to get into the heart of God the Father to find out what he exactly wants me or you to do, because we want to be so obedient. That was Christ dying for you and I. He was going to the cross. That was the glory of God for the joy that was set before him. Can you imagine? He went all to the very end. Proverbs 13:19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. You know what? There's something about hard work and finishing in one day. You preached on it, brother, a couple weeks ago, last month. Be faithful. You know what? We don't have to be the best looking. We don't have to be the best soul winner. We don't have to be the best anything. But we can find out one thing. We can hang in there.
That's right.
And be found faithful. Amen. Praying, reading our books. Karen giving out gospel tracts. Listen, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." There's a lot of people that are hearing things right now. And there, somebody today, before I came here, he said, 19 people from my neighborhood that I grew up with, he said, died of heroin overdoses.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's unreal. People don't care anymore. I had a pastor call me last month, and he said, I thought about committing suicide yesterday. I said, "Don't you be telling that to anybody." I said, "You know better." He said, "I know. But things are coming through the air right now. Satan has something to do with the mind, with the brain. And there's stuff coming through the air. And you're not crazy." The battle is heating up. And there's a lot of people that don't have... What did Apostle Paul said, Romans 7:24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" But see, he has Christ and he thanks God. So with the law of Christ, he serves the mind. And with the law of the flesh, he serves sin. But you know what? We don't have to serve sin anymore. See, Apostle Paul had Christ to run to, and so do we if we're saved. The world doesn't. And they are fallen for the lies of the devil, everybody. Mark chapter 13, watch, lest the master of the house cometh back and find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, walk circumspectly, keep praying, forget about getting tempted. Man, it doesn't seem like nothing's going on. No, it's, God can't lie. Listen, for such a time as this, we're all here. And by the way, when you think it can't get any worse, it probably will. There's some things on the horizon, everybody. I think I said it earlier to AJ. Proverbs 3:25, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." Think about that. God's warning us, listen, we have Christ. Listen, if they're terrorists, listen, if I blow up, I'm going up. You know what? God's in charge. We need to stay faithful. We need to keep believing in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity. Keep your hand upon Pastor Wilps and Tammy. And Lord, may Father give him wisdom and discernment. Bless him, Father, with a continued holy boldness for thy glory, for thy will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Lord Jesus' name I pray. Amen.